Say with you again this word. Say, redeemed by the power of His blood. There's such power when it comes into the blood of Jesus Christ. If a thief is to break into your house and you begin to pray in other tongues and look him in the eyes, he is in big trouble. When you know that this blood has so much power that it has cleansed your sins away, it surely has power to protect you, to protect you against all evil, from any harm, from any danger. It has protected you. It is only His blood. Are you guys with me? It is not the anointing even. I know we speak a lot of the anointing. It's the blood. Without the blood, the priests in the Old Testament, their thumbs and their right toe and their ear had to be, what happened had to be is it had to be anointed. But before oil could be put onto it, blood first had to be put on. Then the oil was put over the blood, which means as a believer, we need the power of the blood first in our lives. Then the oil will come and we will become anointed. Are you guys with me? And we're starting a prophetic revolution. Doesn't matter who says what. And, you know, doesn't matter who says what and what says what. We will prophesy. The Bible says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. And do not and desire the gift of prophecy. So, you know, I didn't want to do it. And I just, for two years, I haven't really prophesied. And I said, you know, every service now I'll try to prophesy or be God's voice. And so, you know, people attack us and it's just free advertising, really. And I'm sitting late. It was 1 o'clock last night or something. I was on the phone with someone, 2 o'clock around there. I'm not exactly sure. And I said to them, I said, you know, God, you know, I have these people attacking me, but yet I'm sitting and I'm worshiping God in my office and I don't even have 1 ounce of unforgiveness. Yet they would write believers and ministers, eh? They would write the most wicked things at that hour. And I'm thinking, this is the day speaking for, let's say, speaking sake, that Christ died for us. Our focus should be on that. And to forgive as He has forgiven us and even forgiven those who put Him on there. And He forgave us, the Bible says, while we were His enemies. Are you guys with me? Christ forgave us, yet while we were still even His enemies, He forgave us. Say with me, redeem. And this is the best time for me of Christianity. This weekend is the very essence why we exist. Why we are alive. That's why I want to take my time, but I won't waste your time, but I want to take my time because I want this revelation to come through to you. Are you guys with me? Though, say with me, Passover. Let me just explain this. The word Passover means that if this is the door to my house, that when the Israelites were in Egypt, the command was given that all of the Israelites, the males, should go and take a lamb, first to go find a lamb. And listen, there were millions. I don't know how and where they got the lamb, but anyway, we'll get there now, okay? Then they take the blood, then they sacrifice him. They take the blood and they put it on the doorposts. And then the Bible says that God says that the spirit of death, the angel of death, will go past. And if He sees, and the scripture actually says, if I see the blood on the doorposts, I will pass over it. Say with me, pass over it. That means that even as a man or a husband in this church, that as a priest of the house, you have the ability to protect your house by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what that word pass over means, it means that God will pass over that house. Then He sees a house that does not have the blood, and the angel of death will go in and kill the firstborn. Are you guys with me? Then He would carry on. Why? It was also symbolic of Christ as the firstborn. But when He sees the blood, it means another saying pass over also. It means that Christ will come and stand in front of the door like this, and He will enforce and make sure that nothing enters into that house of the enemy. And nowhere in Scripture does it say that the family or the kids have to even serve God. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that, listen, wait, but that kid is on drugs and now there's blood here, so me as God will come in and just kill the one that's on drugs and move on. He says, wherever the blood is, I will pass over it blindly. I have a saying that the power of the blood blinds God to our sins. I don't know if you like this very much. Listen here, if you are a dead Christian, it means you don't understand what the blood has done for you yet. But by the end of this service, you will understand what the blood has done. How you have been purchased, redeemed, recreated. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that we are a new creation. I know we love the word redeemed. It's okay, it is in scripture. But it also says that we have been recreated. He has built up in us a new man on the inside of us. So much so that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, that you will be changed into the other man. That the new man, the one that was created, are you guys with me? The true you, the one that is called to go into destiny. But many times as believers, we submit to our old man. We submit to our old flesh and our old ways. Hey, there's a spirit in there. That if you've given your life to Christ, that spirit is alive. Now, if you feel dead, it is maybe because Christ has not been Lord of your life or the blood has not done its full working. But it'll make sense just now. Are you guys with me? So go with me to 1 Peter 1 verse 18. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 on the screens. Listen to this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. So you as a church understand us. Traditions means, the Bible says, where the traditions of men is, that the power of God is made of null effect. Traditions, our traditions, even Christian traditions, can make God's power of null effect in our lives. God hates tradition. Your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Next verse. But, so go back. Listen to this. Knowing that you were not redeemed. So if you're redeemed by silver or gold. He says, listen here. There's not one amount of money or silver or gold that can redeem you, that can make your life right. How many times have I met people that have made a grave sin in their lives and they're doing everything just to get redemption? But what they don't know, if they just accept Jesus Christ and His blood, when you stand in front of the judge, He doesn't see you. He sees the blood and He sees His Son. Are you guys with me? And so many people try to do things, even good works, even giving into charities or this, or to try to remove the guilt. Listen here, it is only the blood that redeems, not silver or gold. Go over to the next verse. But with the precious blood, say with you, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So how many of you know that He is the lamb? Are you guys with me? He died the lamb and He rose the lion. And let me just make this clear. Nobody killed Him. Nobody murdered Him. He had the power to lay down His own life and the power to pick up His life back up again. He alone had that power. He said to Pontius Pilate, he said, listen, you don't own me. He said, I just want to let you know, it is not you that is giving me over to this cross. I alone have the power to lay my life down. So when you see me dead, you will know that I have given up the breath. How much more us right now, when the Bible says that as He is in heaven, so are we. A person does not die unless they give up the Holy Ghost. That's too much for you. Okay, say with your longevity. I do not believe in immortality. I believe in longevity. Longevity means it's not God's will to die at 50. Are you guys with me? It's not God's will to die at 60. Longevity means that when the glory of God comes on us, that it extends our lives longer, to live a long and full life. Abraham was 120 years old. His eyes was not dim, and he had the strength of a young man. Listen here, listen. Redeem. Say with you, redeem. The word redeem means this, just quickly. It means to be bought back, to be purchased back. It means to pay a ransom to get something, to be released from an existing danger, to be removed from an undesirable situation. That's what redeem means. How many of you know that you have been removed from an undesirable situation? I talked to people. One lady said to me, she's so sad because all these things are happening in her life. I said, why don't you look at the good things? If I have to look at the bad things that's happening in my life, I can give up and or die right now. Just the amount of people that speak against me because of being a public figure. Just threats. Just the people that hate us. And I've never even met them. When you find out about people that you really love, looked up to them, never met them, and then you see a message of where they are calling you a devil and somebody doing witchcraft, you have to go on your knees and forgive them. Are you guys with me? Then sometimes we have problems with, I see Rishi stands by the door. Rishi didn't greet you. Now, how dare he not greet me? I am offended. Hey, there's nations out there. Then people say, you know, I trust in God for this 10K or this 15K, and they pray for a year. The Bible says that we have an inheritance. Ask of me the nations, and I'll give them to you as your inheritance. Are you guys with me? Begin to understand identity, that you and I are a son and a daughter of God. Not a child of God, but a son and a daughter. That we have been purchased back, redeemed back. Say with me, adoption. Listen. When a son is adopted in the Jewish culture, when it says that we have been adopted by our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, a true son, a son that is born in that family, can still be disowned by the father. But when in the Jewish culture they adopt someone, they cannot disown that person. Which means that when you have been adopted, the moment you gave your life to Christ, maybe you haven't yet, it is the moment of adoption that God will never cut you off or disown you. That He seals you with the Holy Ghost until the day of eternity. Come on. Are you guys with me? That is what makes me rejoice and made me couldn't even sleep last night. Because I'm so thankful for what He has done. So with His sacrifice. And we're going to get into it now. Don't worry. Listen, the sacrifice works like this. They would take an animal. They would sacrifice and kill it. And then its blood would be used. When it comes to the rituals in the Old Testament. When they would do a sacrifice. But what we need to understand is this. That the death of that animal dealt with our sin. But it is the blood that they would then use and rub on themselves, the priests. That blood so it's the death that deals with our sin. But the blood, when it comes on us, it deals with our blessing. So I'm going to say it again. The death deals with our sin, but the blood deals with our blessing. And then the resurrection deals with the power that we walk in as Christians. It is the resurrection of Christ that validifies Christianity. Are you guys with me? It is you and I walking in signs, wonders, and miracles. Something that is impossible. That is the validity to Christianity. Isn't it amazing that if every single one of us here die, how many know we have come from the dust? And as we die, our bodies will go back to the dust. Are you guys with me? Elijah was taken up into heaven. Enoch was taken up into heaven. Their bodies have not gone back to dust. But they have to come back to die. to fulfill the law of nature so that their bodies can come go back to the dust. They are the two prophets that Revelation speak of. Are you guys with me? But we have a problem when it comes to Jesus. Because when they went to the grave, they said, He is not here. His body is no longer here. For He is risen. That means He's not going to come back to die a physical death. Because His body didn't come from the dust. When he was conceived, He was not conceived by a man. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, which means it is His body was made up out of the Word. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Are you guys with me? Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That even when they touched Him and they felt Him or they hugged Him or John laid his head on His chest, He didn't realize this is not flesh I'm touching. Actually, what I'm touching and lying on here is the pure, 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 unadulterated Word of God. The beginning of the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But that's the heavens and the earth, not the beginning of God. Then John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, before that beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Are you guys with me? So Jesus' body was made up of the Word. Now that we are, He is the firstborn of many, we ought to live and make the Word flesh until our bodies, now you understand why He could walk on the water. Because He was the Word. When we say Jesus was the Word, we don't understand it until I explain it to you like this. That His body didn't go back to the dust. It went back from where it comes from. The Word. Are you guys with me? The more words you get in is what we call Kratos power. That is like when Jesus was looking for a boat. And He couldn't find a boat. And He just began to walk on the water. And the molecular density of the water began to thicken. Why? Because it has to submit to the Word. So the more words you get into your life, the more you can break the power and limitation of the laws that binds this natural world. Which means if there's a sickness in your body, and the more of the words you get into, the sickness has to obey the Word of God. Are you guys with me? This is exciting. Are you not exciting? Oh my word. Oh my word. I'm telling you. I went off the subject. Say with me, redeem. Hebrews 9 verse 22. Put it on. Listen. Hebrews 9 verse 22. We're going to get into just a few points now that will make sense clearer for you now. Quickly. Hebrews 9 verse 22. It says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified. Say with me, purified. With blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. He says, listen here. If blood is not shed, there's no forgiveness or remission. Blood has to be shed. That's why His blood had to be shed for us. Are you guys with me? The only problem is that we think of His blood being shed on the cross. But His blood was shed in seven places and even more. And I'm not even going to get into the other ones. But His blood was shed in seven places. Actually, eight. I'll see if I can get there. But listen, so these seven places. And I want to show you where that blood was shed. Because, listen here. It is the blood, when I spoke on 1 Peter 18, that redeems us. The word redeems means to pay back, to be purchased, to pay a ransom for, to end an area and a season that was very bad for you. Are you guys with me? Now the blood of Christ was spilled and shed, if I can say it like that, in seven places. And at each of those places speaks of a significant area in our lives that has been redeemed. Because the problem is a lot of Christians get saved and they stay at that level. Salvation is more than just going to heaven. It is like this man who was going on a journey. Many of you might know the story. And the only money he had was to buy a ticket to go from, let's say, London to New York on a ship. And he did everything to get there. He put all his money together for this ticket. And he was on the boat, and how many days or weeks it took towards the last day or so, he was in the bunker right at the bottom, starving and eating a little bit of scrapes because he had no money. All the money he used was to spend the ticket. And then the captain came to him. And this is actually a true story example. Then the captain came to him and said, "Listen, sir, have we offended you in any way?" And he said, No, what do you mean? And they said, "No, because you bought a ticket, but we have never seen you once in our restaurants. We have never seen you once in all these functions." And he said to them, "No, but I only had money for a ticket, not for to eat. So I'm just waiting till we land that I can get going again, or till the ship docks that I can get going again." And the captain said to him, "Listen, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, it's the last day, but your ticket was all inclusive, meaning all your meals was free, all this was free. When we get saved, we think only of salvation. Yet there's areas touching deliverance, healing, prosperity, wholeness, the ability to walk and rule and reign in dominion that many Christians don't walk in because all they think the blood is for the forgiveness of their sins." Are you guys with me? And the blood does two works. It forgives, then it cleanses. So, you know, so there's seven places. And I want to speak to you about the power of the blood simply because, and in those seven places where it touches our lives, I want you to walk out here knowing those seven places. That you can know, but wait, if the devil is in my finances, this is how I can work with it. You can stand in front of a demon-possessed person and just stay in our church for 1 year and you will see many demons coming out. Are you guys with me? You can say to that demon, "In the name of Allah, come out," and the demon will beat you up. You can say, "In the name of Leon," and the demon will beat you up. But if you say, "By the power of the blood," when you say to a demon, one word, you just say blood. You just say the name of Jesus Christ. You will hear the devil scream and set that person free. Because it is the blood that carries power. Are you guys with me? Without the blood, we are nothing. The difference between me and a sinner is the blood. We are at the same destination. We are at the same consequences for our sins. The only difference between me and a sinner is the power of his blood that I might have and he doesn't. Are you guys with me? Listen. You know, the power of the blood. Watchman Nee, a very good writer, in one of his books, Spiritual Man, which is like this thick. And I always ask people this question. They say they read the book, but they never seen that. And I'm like, then you haven't read the book. Because in the middle of that thick book, Watchman Nee said something. Now, he's a radical character that I'm not going to get into. But in prison, they pulled out his eyes and he cut off his tongue. And did many things just for him to stop a revival and stop preaching. And he wrote in the middle of the book, he says, "If you truly know and have a revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you would continually sin again, over and over, just to keep experiencing the cleansing power over and over." And he doesn't say that you must sin. Are you guys with me? He's just saying that is that how that feeling is when the blood cleanses you. It's not a thing of you going out trying to stop smoking. You're walking out and you have no desire to smoke anymore. You've forgotten even about smoking 2 or 3 days later. The power of the blood has the ability to clean us. Are you guys with me? Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 53 verse 5. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was wounded. Listen to this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Say with me, stripes. Just the sound in here, guys. The piano, just a little bit softer. Just the piano for me, please. So listen. Say with me again. Say stripes. You know, when the blood of Jesus Christ, Reinhard Bonnke said something very powerful. As a great evangelist in Africa, he said something very powerful. He said the blood of Jesus is like a bar of soap. You can put it next to you and you can say, please wash me, and the soap will just stay there. But you have to take it, pick it up, get it onto your body and wash your body with it. You have to apply, say with me, apply the blood. You have to apply the soap. You have to apply the blood. He says, then you will be clean. But if you say, soap clean me, blood clean me, no, no, no. You have to appropriate it, take it by faith. Apply it on your life. It can only happen when you accepted Jesus Christ. Are you guys with me? Then you become one with him. That blood can then cleanse you. Listen here. It must be forced. If that application is not done, that is where you get Christians where they look like Christ has never even come into their lives. Even though they've accepted him, they're still living in the old nature. They're still doing the old things, still falling into their old ways and their old sins. Nothing of them is changing. Why? Because they're lacking the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll see, we postponed our deliverance weekend simply because we just have to get a few things right in the building, but we will have it. And that night, you will see when we mention the blood, how many demons will scream out. Say with these seven places. Luke chapter number 22, verse 44. I want to give you seven places quickly. Seven areas in our life where the blood was shed and has redeemed. Luke 22, verse 44. Listen to this. Being in agony, Jesus now. The Bible says that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was in agony. Are you guys with me? He prayed more earnestly. Say with him, more earnestly. Listen, when you are in moments of suffering or agony, it takes somebody to pray more earnestly. It is in that moment where you shouldn't back down, but to say, listen here, my knees are going to hit the deck and I will have a funeral on my knees, but I'm going to pray. What happens then? He began to pray earnestly. Then, say with you, then, his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When in your time of trouble and agony, or a time when financially it's not going well, or sickness, or your family are coming in, whatever it might be, but you hit the deck and you start praying on your knees earnestly, the situation is being turned around because blood is being shed that redeems it. So it doesn't matter if your business doesn't bring in money. When you apply prayer, that business can be redeemed. Because when you apply prayer, the devil knows that in the realm of the spirit, you are shedding blood. Are you guys with me? It was in this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus spilled blood. His first, as a matter of fact, this is the first moment he spilled blood. I call this the blood, if you want to write this down. Number one, I call it the blood of faithfulness. Say with me, faithfulness. The blood of faithfulness / the blood of God's will. That's what I call it. This is where Jesus literally redeemed at this moment. He redeemed our willpower. Are you guys with me? Listen, Adam and Eve lost their willpower in the garden. What I mean by that, Eve was deceived, so she had an excuse. But Adam did it willfully. Are you guys with me? Eve was deceived, but Adam sinned willfully. When he sinned willfully, just before he did it, the Bible says that God said, listen, let us make a man in our image and our likeness to have dominion over everything. So when Adam sinned willfully, he lost dominion. He lost authority. He gave the whole earth realm over to Satan. Are you guys with me? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to pray and the drops of blood fell on the ground, Let's go to the next verse. Let me see something. Go two verses back. I'm looking for something. This is while he was praying. Listen to this. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will. Say this with me. Say, not my will. Say it again. Say, not my will, but yours. Say, not my will, but your will. Adam in the Garden of Eden said, not your will, but my will. And he lost willpower. Jesus came back into another Garden of Gethsemane until his sweat began to turn into great drops of blood. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will. This is the blood of faithfulness, the blood to get you back into God's will. Are you guys with me? I don't know, this sounds boring, or you sound uninterested, or you might know more than me. I don't know. Are you guys with me? Say the willpower of God. This gives us, redeems us our own willpower, where we can say, God, we have the ability to lay down our will for you. We have the ability to say no to sin because of the power of the blood. We have the ability to say no to temptations because of the power of the blood. Jesus said to his disciples, pray. Could you not pray with me for 1 hour, lest you fall into temptation? The spirit is, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. Meaning, temptation will come, but you need to pray. Blood needs to be spilled. Are you guys with me? Number two, say with me, the blood of healing. Say it again. Say the blood of healing. And we'll be finished by 10, I hope. The blood of healing. Listen, and we were supposed to have, I think from next year we'll do it. We'll do a very, very big thing. We'll do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Because many people don't know what happened the second day. Are you guys with me? We preached Friday and we preached Sunday, but we forget about the second day. And you can go into detail what Jesus did in the underworld. Setting spirits free. Setting those that people would think is in hell free. And the Bible says that when he raised from the dead, that many others, multitudes raised with him. And there were over 500 witnesses seeing these other people coming out of the graves. You need to understand this. Like when you see a horror movie of a zombie's hand coming out of the grave. It looked like that. Because their body was flesh, but it was spirit. Are you guys with me? And I can take it out of scripture. Then they all went to their places of interest. Which means if they loved Nando's before they died, whether they were raised again with Christ, with over 500 witnesses, they would see them in their places of interest. The Bible is different to what you think. Are you guys with me? Say with me, revelation. That is why they can attack me out there and attack me. But you cannot deny the results when your eyes have been opened by revelation. Amen. Listen here. How many of you know the Bible says Jesus was beaten 39 times? The Bible doesn't say it, okay? Nowhere in Scripture does it say he's been beaten 39 times. And if it does, it's a wrong translation. Or it's an error. Paul was beaten 39 times. Because he was beaten by the Jews. But when it comes to Jesus, when he was beaten, he was beaten by Roman soldiers. So the Jews would have a custom to beat somebody scourged. They call it scourging with a whip. And I'll explain to you what a cat of nine tail whip is just now. But they would scourge you at 39 times and stop there because they believed if you do 40, the person would die. But that's the Jews. The problem we're sitting with is that the Jews did not scourge Jesus. It was the Roman soldiers. They did not stop at 39 times. They were ruthless. Some theologians will tell you that they went on till 172 times. With a cat of nails. This cat of nails was a whip made out of bones. Sharp pieces of nails and have a big piece of lead at each end, and it had 9 pieces of rope like this, and it would have any sharp hooks and objects in it. So when it hit you, first of all, the piece of lead at the end would break a bone. So whether it would wrap around your body, it would break a bone, it hits. And then all those hooks will hook into you. Now I know you know this because you all have seen The Passion of the Christ. And it would rip it out of him, the flesh, once. And it would go on like that through his face, through his body. 172 times, some theologians claim. The Bible says, remember, that when he was looked upon, that he was beaten beyond recognition. That his own mother would stand in front of him and cannot recognize that this is a son. So he was beaten. Even the lungs was showing as his back was ripped open. Are you guys with me? By 40, they believe a person would die. They take this man, they beat him. When I say this man, you know how I'm not saying disrespect. I'm just explaining. To 172 times. Then made him walk with that condition 3 to 4 miles to Golgotha. And then get crucified there, which is a whole nother concept that I'll get into right now. But when he was beaten, there's 39, how many of you know there's 39 diseases? This is what scientists have proven, and physicians, that is 39 root diseases. And they try to mix it with the Bible and say, okay, Jesus was beaten 39 times. Only problem is he wasn't. He was beaten 172 times. And it answered a question that I had for many years. Because everybody's like 39 diseases. I'm like, okay, that's good. But what if they discover a new disease? You understand what I'm saying? Diseases have been discovered. It's all the time. But it comes from the root of 39. But what if they discover a new root? That is why the scripture is explaining. He was beaten 172 times. In case scientists still discover new diseases that has not yet been discovered for, but he has taken those beatings and stripes on his back to bring healing to every disease that you might have in your body. This is what we call the law of exchange took place on the cross. He took the beating and sickness so that we can have healing. Are you guys with me? Right here, the blood of healing was shed. Are you guys with me? This is how sickness works. We have to take that blood and apply it upon our lives, believing that, listen here, this body where this blood comes out of did not go back to the dust, but it went back to heaven where it was made, the Word of God. This blood lived in the Word of God for 33 years. Then it was the blood of the Father of the Holy Ghost in heaven. How can this blood not heal anything? Are you guys with me? You must understand, blood, the Bible says that the light of life is in the blood. There's a light in blood that when the light goes out, the person is dead. The light of life is in the blood. Now, if this blood came from the Holy Ghost, does that mean that God has to have blood that sustains him? Oh, now I've lost you guys. I lost you. I don't even think you know what I said. Are you guys with me? I'm saying, same with me, the blood of heaven. If Jesus' body was the Word, and it went back to heaven because it was the Word, then the blood he carried that came, the blood comes from the Father, not the Mother. Are you guys with me? Who was the Father? The Holy Ghost. In that instance, which is our Heavenly Father. If the blood comes from there, that means the blood that ran through Jesus' veins for 33 years was the same blood that kept God alive in heaven. When I say keeping alive, not as if you can die, but to keep him at a place of such divinity and divine health. God's blood. When his blood touches your life, sickness has to die. When his blood comes upon you, sickness has to die. Curses has to be cursed to its root. It is not even a question. Are you guys with me? Say with you, the blood of healing. So Matthew 27, verse 26. Matthew 27, verse 26. And I'll hurry up. I just want to give you the seven places. Matthew 27, verse 26. Quicker, guys. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This was Pontius Pilate. So say with me the words, say with me, scourge. That's just what I explained to you now, where it says it's a cat of nine tails. And I explained to you how the whip works, how the cords would wrap around you. So even when they would beat him, they would wrap around his face and would pull out pieces of flesh. Every time there was a beating, it would pull out pieces of flesh. So much so that you could see his lungs breathing from the backside. This was proven physically. Are you guys by physicians? Are you guys with me? Number three, say with you, the blood of forgiveness. There's an area where the blood is shed, which forgives you, but gives you the power to forgive others. Go with me to same scripture. Go with me to Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Listen to this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by our stripes we are healed. Say with me, transgression. Say iniquities. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. And he was wounded for our transgression. Are you guys with me? Transgression is a sin that I willfully do. I sit and I willfully think, I'm going to go to a club, drink now, as a born-again Christian, spirit-filled, and then comes back home. That's a transgression. And iniquity is something more twisted. It is something that we are born with, like King David said. You just lift my mic up. I sound a bit soft here. I don't know if everybody can hear me. King David said, I have been born in iniquity. We are born in iniquity. Especially when there's curses on our generations before, of racism, of murder, of this or that. Are you guys with me? That sin, that transgression now becomes iniquity. Also, when a transgression, a sin that I just explained, that is willfully done, walked over, that we do with our own will, and when it is kept being done without applying the blood, it becomes an iniquity and it becomes a twist. That is when a curse comes upon people and everything in their family goes wrong. Usually when homosexuality comes in, it's because of an iniquity in the family. And I speak like this because we have delivered many. We have seen many homosexuals delivered. Are you guys with me? And I will not be like some churches that apologize for that. Oh, no, not yet. I never said we hated a homosexual. I love the homosexual. I had and have friends that are homosexuals. Okay, you're too holy. Jesus loved the sinners. Okay, I could have said something bad now, but let me not say that. Say with me, the blood of forgiveness. Listen, this is when, as I explained, that he was being beaten for our iniquities and our transgressions. There was an exchange. This is what I wanted to say earlier. On the cross, what I'm explaining to you now, where the blood was shed, it is something we call the law of exchange, which means everything that happened to Christ on that cross is the opposite that will happen to you. So for his rejection, you will be accepted. For his sicknesses coming upon him, you will be healed. For the stripes he received, you will be healed. Are you guys with me? The sin that was put upon him, you are forgiven of your sin by applying the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the law of exchange. You'll even see how prosperity comes into this thing. Are you guys with me? And the problem with all of this is this. If we do not believe in healing or prosperity, or not even trying to apply it onto our lives, we are saying, Christ, all those beatings you've taken, 172 times, that you were not even recognized by your closest family, was in vain, because I'm trying to get it with another source. Are you guys with me? Many, Muhammad has died. And if you go to his grave, he's probably there. And all his other gods have got died. What sets Christianity apart is the resurrection, where we're going to get into Sunday morning. Remember, the cross deals with our sin, but the resurrection deals with blessings and power. It deals with dominion. It is the only thing that makes Christianity validity, because they could not find his body. And it's amazing. The scripture says that the Roman soldiers and the high priests were trying to pay large sums of money to tell a story that Jesus' body was removed by someone. They were paying large sums of money. I saw an article during the week where somebody was giving a large sum of money to some Planned Parenthood or something, and another cult thing, and as an actress. Lord, when I say large sums of money, $15 million, it was there in the article. And yet Christians, the devil puts out large sums of money to spread a lie. Yet Christians cannot give even a little bit to spread the truth. Number four, the fourth place where the blood was shed. Say with these words with me. Say, the blood of conquest. Say it again, like you want to, or mean it, like you believe it. Say, the blood of conquest. This is where the blood comes upon your life and it commands you to conquer every area where you are going. Are you guys with me? This happened when they put the crown of thorns on Jesus' head and it pierced his brow, and the blood began to drip from his head. It means and speaks that your ability to rule and reign and have dominion and to have conquest is being redeemed and restored at that place. That place where he shed his blood, you have been redeemed. Are you guys with me? That means it doesn't matter what job you're walking in, it must be yours. And these teachings we teach, that we can know our identity, that we can know our royalty, that when we walk in a job, not that you even should walk into a job, you should own your business, but when you walk into a job on your way to owning a business, that they can see favor, the anointing, and God upon your life. How does that happen? With revelation preached, and the anointing falling in this place, and the power of God coming upon your life, it sets you apart from anyone else. Oh, it sets you apart from anyone else. Are you guys with me? That was it, Ruth or Naomi? I think it was Naomi that was standing from the king. Ruth, Naomi, Esther. Why am I by Ruth and Naomi? I don't know. Sorry, Esther. Who said that? Wow, thank you. Is that Jerome? Is that? Thank you. So, Esther, standing in front of the king. We think Esther was beautiful, young. The real theologians will tell you, actually, that she was between 60 and 80 years old. Are you guys with me? And she was contesting with 16-year-olds, maybe even 13-year-olds, I don't know, that were prepared a whole year for the king to choose his one now. So they were standing in a line. Now you must understand, this is a beauty pageant. Huh? That's why beauty pageants are scriptural. So let's just stop that there. Okay? So listen, Esther was standing with all these beautiful girls. And here's grandmother Esther standing in the middle. But something caused the king to look at her. It's what I call ratzon favor. The Hebrew word for, one of the Hebrew words for favor, it's a favor of God, of oil that comes upon your life. That you stand out for a job, even if you don't have the qualifications or the experience. There's just something about you. It's because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. The anointing is tangible. You're talking to your interviewer, to your employer, and you're sitting there, but there's an anointing and a favor, like Joseph, that everything his hands touched was anointed. It was like the Midas touch. Are you guys with me? So this is what I'm speaking about when we speak about conquest. Ratzon favor means to take over wherever you go. Grandmother Esther, with all these beautiful girls, yet the king chooses Esther. Never will I do that, but... When the favor of God comes, nothing is impossible. So with you, the blood of conquest. Now, let me read Matthew 27, verse 29. Matthew 27, verse 29. I'm almost finished. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." But this was when they put the crown of thorns. The blood began to drip from that moment, and that is where our conquest and our ability to conquer has been redeemed. But secondly, it is also where our mental torment is being healed. Many in this place, even today, are battling with bipolar or depression or some type of schizophrenia. Are you guys with me? Manic depressive. When Jesus received the crown of conquest, the blood of conquest was spilled, which means it doesn't matter what mental sickness there is. That when you take that blood and you apply it, that blood has the ability to redeem you in that area. Whatever personality disorder psychologists or psychiatrists have diagnosed you with, doesn't matter what depression you have, it doesn't matter what is, listen here, that crown deals, number one, with conquering and conquest. Number two, with the ability to pull down strongholds and break them and make your mind clean, to renew your mind. Come on, are you guys with me? Zerana. I'm going a little bit quick. Genesis 3 verse 19. Let me show you something. Genesis 3 verse 19. And we should have finished already, so allow me to go quick. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. Listen here, this was when Adam and Eve messed up, and they were cursed and put out of the garment. And God put in the NIV version. And God said to them these words, NIV version. God said to them these words. I want you to read it in this version specifically. By the sweat of your brow, say with me, brow, you will eat your bread until you return to the ground, until you are dead. He's saying, listen here, you will toil and toil, because now the curse of toiling has come upon you, and you will eat only if by the sweat of your brow, meaning you will work minimum wage, sweating like a slave. And this is one of the reasons even the Israelites went into slavery. You will work like that at the sweat of your brow for minimum wage just to survive. But when Jesus put on the crown of thorns, it pierced the brow again, and blood came out of the brow, which means that the curse of toiling at a minimum wage is over. It is broken. It is not for a believer. You are the head and not the tail. You are seated high in heavenly place. Come on. That curse, say with me, that curse is broken. Say it again. Say, that curse is broken. That is the curse that binds you to a minimum wage job. That is the curse that causes people to be retrenched. One after the other, after the other. Are you guys with me? Not under this roof. Not under this sound here. I declare that that curse will be broken. Listen, I sowed myself out of poverty. I told you over and over and over. I had some people telling me, what is this TVs Leon puts in here? You know, then he lives in a mansion and drives all these expensive cars. I don't live in a mansion. I will later on, but I'm not living in a mansion. And then... I asked the person, how many cars have you given away? I've given two away already. So don't come with this or that, okay? But I sowed myself out of poverty. You want to conquer? Let that truth sink in where you say, you know what? Me and my house, we will tithe. Me and my house, we will pay an offering. Because it is only in our finances that God can heal us. It is only in our finances that God can, because the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where I put my treasure, my heart is there also. So with me, retrenchment is over. I do not receive retrenchment. When you believe it with your whole heart, when you are retrenched, you must know it is just time for promotion. We live from another world, a supernatural world. So say with these words, say the blood of prosperity. Say it again, say the blood of prosperity. This is the fifth place the blood was shed. Go for it to John 20, verse 25. John 20, verse 25. It says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. This means, listen, that his hands was pierced and blood was dripping from his hands. Are you guys with me? Blood was dripping from his hands. That blood that was shed by his hands, the fifth place of shedding, is what we call the blood of prosperity. Say with me, prosperity. Same as the thorns that came over your head to make you conquer and to break the curse of toiling at minimum wage. I don't know, this was revelation to me. Listen here. The blood of prosperity means what was redeemed. The power to succeed. Say with me, succeed. To prosper and an ability to receive spiritual inheritance. The ability to receive spiritual inheritance and a physical blessing. Meaning, now where the devil has taken away dominion and authority, Adam lost it and said that we will work at the sweat of our brow. Now Jesus said, no, I've restored your brow. Now I've redeemed your hands. Whatever your hands touch will become gold. There's many things regarding hands. Some people have an open hand, they are giving. I always say when you have an open hand giving towards God, you can have open hand to receive again. A lot of people come like this to God and they cannot give and they can also not receive because their hands are not open. As I said to you, I sowed myself. I want this reality to eat in. You know, because Passover, what we are busy with now, Easter, is a significant time and season for giving. My family and I sowed ourselves out of poverty. I had nothing. You know, and to see the blessings of God come, it is, you know, the testimonies. This one sowed this amount, and there somebody gives them a free car. I think 5 cars or something were given already, just in this church. And that excludes the ones that I gave away. I remember giving a car away, and my wife and I didn't have a car for a whole year while we planted this church. We drove with somebody's I-10, you know. They were driving us when we planted the church. But it's not for anything to boast or anything. It's just because I understand the law and principle of sowing and reaping. You know, I was tithing last night, and I tithe to the people that that feeds me and my oversight and so on. And they said, Leon, you know this relationship is not about tithing. I said, no, I know it's not about tithing. They said, you know, I don't love you because you tithe. I said, of course not. I said, I tithe because I made it a legalistic law and a non-negotiable in my life. That was law. Me and my house shall tithe. Me and my house shall give. And then God can use that. Bible says once I do that, then the other 90% is redeemed. Many people tithe right at the end, and before they can even tithe, all their stuff is, they don't have money left because they didn't do it as a first fruit, so it couldn't be redeemed. And you are a blessed church. Listen to me. You are a blessed church. Pastors, how many pastors have sat with me, tried to find out the mystery and the secret of what is going on here? Number one, that you are so open. That is a good word being preached. I preach revelation. It's revelation that opens people. I'm telling you, they'll sit in the office, they'll say, Leon, we have never experienced a church like this. Number two, how do you people give so much? They said, when I saw you taking up an offering, I said, not even in my own church have I ever seen anybody given and walked joyfully or give so much. I said, it's because I do it. So do you do it? And they kept silent. I said, it's because I do it in my personal finances and I do it in the ministry of finances. I always tithe up because that's where the oil, as long as I do that, there'll be oil in this house. It's a principle, and the heavens will be opened because the Bible says that when we give in tithes and offerings, see, that will not open up for you the heavens. Now would have been a good time to take up the offering, but we missed that one and we did it in the beginning. So through the blood of prosperity. So where your hands have been tied, now you no longer have to toil at minimum wage, but you can make a success. Deuteronomy 18 verse 18, the Bible says that God has given us the power to obtain wealth. He has given you the power to obtain and create wealth. Are you guys with me? Unless God's people learn how to make wealth, in the next 20 years, they are going to struggle. So we better get to a place of learning how to make wealth. Secondly, God is a good investor. He invests in those who can multiply. Okay, let's carry on. Say with me, the blood, number six, the blood of dominion. Say it again, say the blood of dominion. Go with me to Luke chapter number 24, verse 29. We're almost done. Luke 24, verse 29. There's no evening service. Sorry, we are so late. But they constrained him, saying, I think I got the wrong verse, 29, sorry, guys. Luke 24, verse 39. Apologies, 39. Luke 24, verse 39. Listen to this. Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. That means Jesus was not spirit after he was raised from the dead. You will not be spirit after you are raised from the dead. You will be given a fleshly body without the weaknesses of the body you have now. Are you guys with me? Yet with this body, he walked through a wall. So even though it's not spirit, he could walk through a wall. But now hold on. So that means that there's a realm that we can get with Christ. That even your physical body has the ability to transport like Philip was transported. Or walk through something or walk through a crowd while they are blinded. How God has protected me. Oh, I remember how God has protected me. Sometimes we'll go through a place and people won't even see us. They're blinded. We had a service and there was about seven people with guns after me. Seven. Not one. Seven. And the one man's daughter of 9 years old or something walks to the bathroom and gives him the gun. And he cocks the gun. And he comes back into the service to come and shoot me. Not here, don't worry. We have our security checks here. Other churches don't. And then seven were sitting in the place, all over. And the man was right behind me. The one pastor was shaking like this. I was in another one where they attacked us with knives, and the other pastor there got a panic attack, a literal panic attack. But when you're in the spirit, when you know that the power of the blood is on you. That it is not my time. I remember standing there. And I just stood there. And you could release the spirit. And it's like a shield around me. The man is standing right here. And I see what he wants to do, what his plan is. I'm standing there. It's like he's arrested in the spirit. And then, there was a time also, you will become blinded to them. They'll become blinded to you in the spirit. You'll just be able to walk away untouched. So say with me, hands. Oh, sorry, say with your feet, feet. This is where the blood came out of his feet. The blood of dominion. Listen here, at this place, our dominion and authority has been redeemed. When Adam lost it, it is redeemed right here. Because the Bible says that every place that your foot shall tread, I have given it unto you. Abraham, lift up your eyes, and as far as you can see, I will give the land to you. Come on, are you guys with me? That means that if you want to buy property or whatever you want to do, if you understand the power of the blood, when you walk on that place, the word says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, it is yours. Dominion is given back to yours. So when Jesus was pierced through his feet and the blood was spilled, dominion was redeemed. Authority was redeemed. Are you guys with me? And you know what? I will preach and preach, even if it is my whole life, and say that you can be a success. And say that God will bless you. He wants to bless you. And I will say and preach what you can be. I will, no one will ever get me to preach poverty. I will preach prosperity. You can leave this church. I don't care. Because it is God's will for people to prosper. If you leave this church and saying, I don't believe in this, listen, I feel sorry for your kids. I feel so sorry for your children. What parent doesn't want to bless their children? In the same manner, that's how God wants to bless us. Amen? And I'm not preaching prosperity saying, give me 1,000 and you'll get 10,000 back. I've never said it. Never will. But I know this principle can make people rich. Because it causes God to see they are faithful with money. So through the blood of dominion. Put off in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 19. Luke 10, verse number 19. It says these words. Behold, I give to you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So with you trample. Anything that is under your foot, you have dominion over. Which means when you trample the enemy, serpents and scorpions, you have dominion over him. And the blood has redeemed that authority in this place. Are you guys with me? I've done deliverances. And then I'll put my foot on the person, person or the devil, whichever one is the most coming out there, on their face. And when I do it, it is a sign to say, devil, you are under my feet. You must see the devil manifest and scream because he understands the symbolic significance of being under a feet. I will cause you to trample. Make them your slaves. That thing that has put you into bondage, you will put that thing into bondage. Every place your foot shall tread will be given to you. Say dominion. Say it again. Say the blood of dominion. That has been restored. The last piece, the seventh white place. Say these words with me. Say, the blood of wholeness. This is probably the most important part for me. Listen to this. The blood of wholeness. Many times we meet Christians, we counsel them, we do deliverance, and we have seen. Just hold it there by you. We have seen. We have seen people getting right in a spiritual way, but they are not fully whole. Their soul and their body is not prospering, and their spirit is not prospering. Are you guys with me? So we're busy with this whole. Look, we're only 2 years old, but we're busy to put stuff in, how to get whole. You have to minister to someone's psyche, meaning soul. You have to minister to their body and to their spirit. For a person, a Christian, to become whole. That when the world out there can look at you, they can see a whole person and they can desire to want to be like you. That is now when you begin to have influence. The blood of wholeness, but I like to call it the blood of influence because that's what it gives you. Just being with somebody, you don't even have to speak a word, will change them around you because you have your identity, you are full, you have been made whole. How does this happen? Listen. Go with me to John number 19, verse 34. John 19, verse 34. The blood of wholeness. But one of the soldiers, listen to this, pierced his side with a spear. Say with me, the side. And immediately, blood and water came out. Now, I want you to understand this concept. Because right here, in this moment where his blood was shed from the side, the seventh place, it was there to restore wholeness, fullness of joy, identity, and salvation, to give us a new heart. Are you guys with me? Listen. When they took the spear, usually what they will do, there's two schools of thought. One school says they'll pierce the heart to kill the person. The other one says they'll put it in the side to see if the person is still alive or not, if there's any reaction. But when they put it into the side of him, not only blood came out, but blood and water came out. The medical condition for when blood and water comes out means that the heart physically burst, which means that Jesus didn't die when they pierced the spear into him. He died literally of a broken heart. The Bible says that he endured the cross because of the us being before him, meaning he would, for the joy set before him, he would endure the cross. When he was on the cross, he had to pull himself up to breathe and then let himself go down, then pull himself up to breathe. While he was on the cross, he saw us sitting in this church. He saw you saved. He saw you praising and worshiping. He saw you leading your family to Jesus. He saw you laying hands on people and filling them with the Holy Ghost. He saw you moving in signs, wonders, and miracles. And because of that joy, the Bible says he endured the cross. Are you guys with me? You can have your seats, Listen. He literally died of a broken heart. Betrayal is one of the most painful feelings. I've just been taught that. I've had people betray me. But I also are thick-skinned. I'm like, just move on. But I have heard that betrayal, it's like divorce. Divorce is worse than death. Because death has closure, where divorce usually doesn't have closure. So, you know, we will have for that divorce care and aftercare and stuff here at church where we will do a lot of things. We've already started last week planning it fully. But listen, first Judas betrays him. Then he's broken. The Bible says when Judas kissed him, this is a Judas kiss, it was a kiss of affection that only best friends would do with one another. So Judas was his best friend, the one who handled the money. And he betrayed him. Then all the people screaming, crucify him, and releasing a murderer in his place. His heart was broken again. Then while he was beaten, while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Take this cup, this form away from me. Meaning even Jesus in his flesh, if I can say it like that, in his man side, because 100% man and 100% God, said, I don't want to go through this. But the problem is, the Bible says that the Lamb was already crucified before the foundations of this world. That's why Abram could get saved as a Gentile. Are you guys with me? They tapped into a crucifixion that already happened long before the foundations of this world. So when he was on the cross and blood and water came out, he literally died of rejection and a broken heart. He gave up the ghost when he said these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he gave up his last breath. Rejection is one of the most powerful forces that can kill people. When you are rejected by your earthly father, it has the ability to kill your spirit life. That's when we deal with it with deliverance here, and we deal with people going through rejection. When Jesus' father, our heavenly father, rejected him, the Bible says his face was turned away from him. Because of that rejection, he gave up the ghost. His heart was so broken that he literally died of his heart bursting for no reason but the agony that he experienced. That when they pushed in the spear, there was no movement. It was just blood and water. And that blood and water fell on the person. And then I'm not even going to get into the trail of blood that was left while he was carrying the cross. And the cloth that was used to dip and pick up the trail of blood. That's a whole other thing for another day. But listen, you can sit here and you can have a broken heart. Maybe your parents have rejected you. Friends, maybe your father has rejected you while you were young. Maybe he beat you up or screamed or beaten your mother in front of you. And it has broken your heart. And that rejection, you have dealt with. And because of that, you have run off the things in your life, made decisions. And then when you grow up, you say, actually, or your wife say, you know what? You are just like your father. Or the husband says to the wife, you know, you are just like your mother. Because that curse came on you. And you literally become the thing you judged. Are you guys with me? Rejection is the most powerful force to kill someone. That is why the Bible says he has adopted us. And the spirit of bondage and fear is broken because of that adoption. That rejection is broken because of that adoption. And Jesus' heart was broken so that you and I, our hearts do not have to be broken. His heart was shattered in pieces so that we don't have to be shattered in pieces. The scripture says that he came to the brokenhearted, for the brokenhearted. And if you're sitting and you have a broken heart, listen to me. It is one touch, one moment where you accept the love of God, the acceptance, the approval, the adoption of God, and he gives you a new heart. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. La Rodushka Avantere Dios. Wherever you are, I want you just to close your eyes and bend your heads. Just close your eyes. And preaching on a Friday morning on a good Friday service, I do not ever want to miss this opportunity. Because maybe you didn't understand salvation. You see, when salvation takes place, it changes everything about you. When people look at you, they'll say, but something is different about you. That is one of the results of salvation. You are given a new nature. Every form of guilt is removed. Every rejection, every pain. If you have a broken heart, unforgiveness against your parents, whatever it might be, maybe your heart has been broken and rejected and you're saying, yes, but people do not understand. I have to do this and this and this to survive. There's a love of God and a rest where we can enter into. Doesn't matter what is happening to the economy. There's a rest we can enter into. The Bible says, take my yoke, for it is a light yoke. If you hear and you didn't understand the seven places of the blood, every area where it can redeem you, every area where it can redeem you. But you're sitting here, maybe your first time here, or you've been here all along. And you say, Leon, I know that my life is not right with God. I need his blood to redeem me. When his blood, he redeems you, it is not a thought that maybe it has happened. You will know that you know that you know that you are purchased by blood. When it comes to salvation, you will have no doubt that heaven is your destination. If the doubt is there, the blood has not been doing its full work in your life. It needs you to pick it up and wash yourself a bit more. And you have to be 100% confident. And if you're saying, I have a broken heart, Leon, because this is where I want to get you. They pierced him on the side. out of the sight. Listen, Adam and Eve, as you're standing with your eyes closed, God took Eve out of Adam's sight, which was his bride. Out of Christ, they pierced him in the side, and water and blood gushed out, which is you and I, the church, his bride. And we gushed out on his side, meaning that is how he sees us, and that was our place of birth. That is our place where the church was birthed. And you can receive salvation right there.